The following is a Pro Football Network podcast, the primary voice for pro football at profootballnetwork.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the PFN Premier NFL Draft Podcast. Last week, if you joined us, we talked about the 2023 NFL Draft class. We kind of touched on it in a few other episodes before then, but we hadn't really gone in depth until last week. Obviously, a lot of time left to go, a lot of evaluations left to play out. So we're really at the very beginning of the process here, but we are diving in full head of steam. We're very excited to do it. I'm back with my good friend and co-host, Ali Hodgkinson. Ali, how are you doing today? I know you've had some Wi-Fi connection issues, but we always wait for, we got to turn the recording on for the Google Meet, and we always got to wait for the whirring to stop and the recording thing to officially go. And then Ali hits you with this, you know, big go, like, all right, this is it. And we had no delay today, so hopefully it'll be a good podcast, right? It's a sign of good things to come.
Every podcast is a good podcast. Let's be honest. Every podcast is a good podcast. I'm doing well, man. It kind of feels like we're getting into a rhythm now with this 2023 NFL draft class. We're starting to grind through some tape. We're starting to get some early thoughts, early feelings, early positional rankings. We've just come off the back of a great almost 2-hour meeting talking about this 2023 class and who are the top 50 guys. And that's going to come out in an article hopefully this week with the early consensus top 50 for the 23 class. So I feel like we're getting into it. We're really starting to get into the nitty-gritty of it. I'm looking forward to chatting about some of the guys we're going to talk about in this episode as well. So yeah, all good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I know we've had some initial scouting reports that we've been writing. They're going to come out soon for sure. We're just kind of working on the formatting with them, but very excited to see them roll out, because I know we talked about this a couple podcasts ago, you know, how we feel right now. Like, I know you feel a lot more confident than you did at the beginning of last cycle. I feel the same way. So, you know, hopefully it'll be a bountiful cycle, you know, kind of in response to that. So very excited for what we have in store today. We're going to focus on quarterback. We're going to talk about tight end a little bit after. And if we have time at the end, I know me and Ali have both been kind of just, you know, kind of glossing over other positions as well and watching other players. So we'll give any comments that we have. But for now, I mean, last week it was a preview. So we're kind of just going through periodically the updates as we watch more and more players. And I feel like we have to start with the quarterback group. We gave a long preview on that position, because obviously, you know, you can't give a short preview on it. There's so many different players to take into account, even beyond the first two, you know, guys that could sneak into the day two or even late day one range. I mean, we saw this year only one quarterback went in round one. It's a good bet that there's going to be more going in round one next year. Maybe not five or six, but, you know, probably at least two or three or even four. So it's a good bet for sure. And I feel like we have to start with the top two guys. By and large, the consensus top two, it could definitely change. You look at guys like Will Levis, Cameron Ward, Hendon Hooker, you know, guys that have the upside to potentially challenge for a top spot. But right now, head and shoulders above the rest, you look at who's mentioned more than most in that top 10, top five discussion, it is CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, Ohio State quarterback, Alabama quarterback. Those are the two that are kind of at the top, at the pantheon of this quarterback class. Ali, just I charted a bit, so I'll give my thoughts. But I guess first off, you know, what are your general thoughts on those guys? I know as an evaluator, you don't always get to look at them in depth right away, but we've watched enough Alabama and Ohio State players at this point. We've seen enough of them in passing to get a good impression. So what is your impression of them so far?
I think early on, there's one thing that to me really stands out. And again, without charting, and you're going to get in, thankfully, we've got one of us who's already done a little bit of charting on these quarterbacks. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of that, one of the key things that stands out for me right now when you look to differentiate CJ Stroud and Bryce Young in this quarterback class, for me, you look at CJ Stroud as a guy who could potentially fit the NFL quarterback billing in more ways than Bryce Young can. And what I mean by that is, without going down the age-old argument of size requisites for the quarterback position, because we know we're not living in this archaic era of quarterback at the NFL needs to be 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", and built like a tank to withstand the pressure in the pocket. It's a very different sport now at the quarterback position. But still, when you look at the first thing that you look at when you look at these two guys is CJ Stroud is, he's listed 6'3", 218. And when you watch CJ Stroud, I think he looks all of that size. I think he plays to all of that size. And when you look at Bryce Young, he's listed 6'1", 194 by Alabama. I don't think Bryce Young is 6 foot. I'd be surprised if Bryce Young measures in at whatever it be the combine, whether he ends up at an all-star game. We probably won't need to. But I think whenever he gets measured in officially and has to go through that process, I would be surprised if Bryce Young doesn't measure in around 5'10". And I think that's a concern. I think at this stage, I think that is not a red flag. A red flag is probably the wrong word when you look at Bryce Young and that size thing. But I do think it's a concern as to how he measures up to the rigors of the NFL at that size. And we talked about this when we were talking earlier on today about look at guys who historically are of that sort of stature, and Russell Wilson's a guy that springs to mind. I'm not quite so sure. Now, Bryce Young hasn't been asked to be an escapologist from the pocket with his legs a lot in his Alabama career. He doesn't, I seem to remember him talking about this last year. He doesn't think of himself as being a rushing quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. Now, he showcased in some big moments last year that he can do that. He can move the needle with his legs, move the chains with his legs when he has to, but he doesn't want to rely on that element of his game. And I think with the size that he is, he might need to lean on that when it comes to the NFL level. I think the other thing that you look at when you're looking at these two guys is, for me, I think right now, I think CJ Stroud has got a measurably more powerful arm than Bryce Young. I think he's got a stronger arm than Bryce Young. And I think if CJ Stroud had a start to last season that in the same way that he ended the season, I think we'd be having a very different conversation about CJ Stroud versus Bryce Young than what some people are already having this conversation. I think CJ Stroud, I think we might have even talked about this last week, that the start to his season almost put him at a disadvantage early on, but he showed down the stretch that he can be this playmaking quarterback at an extremely high level. And I think what we'll see through this 2022 college football season leading up to the 2023 NFL draft, I think CJ Stroud is really going to put himself in a particularly strong position to head into the 23 NFL draft class, potentially as the QB1 of this class.
Yeah, I don't think it's close personally. I think it's CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. I think it's CJ Stroud and then everyone else, including Bryce Young. I think, I charted a little bit of CJ Stroud this morning and I was looking at him, and I know definitely a lot of plays that really stood out over this past season, especially down the stretch, like you said. I think the one thing that you really want to see from a young player is that linear growth. I mean, earlier on in the season, we were hearing about Stroud potentially, like, people were calling for him to get benched. And now, I always felt like that was a little premature. Like, he's a young quarterback. Let him take his lumps, let him grow. And that's exactly what happened. They let him take his lumps, they let him grow, and Ohio State got better because of it. They were rewarded because of it, because CJ Stroud came out later in the season and really elevated his game. And I look at him you know, there's some throws on that tape, man. I mean, you talk about, I think you worded it very well. I think CJ Stroud, if you put him side by side with Bryce Young, checks more boxes for an NFL quarterback. And that just goes to obviously the size, right? I think Stroud is listed at like 6'3", 218. Young is 6'1", 194. So I do have serious concerns. Obviously, the durability hasn't been an issue yet for Bryce Young, but like you said, it's because he hasn't really relied on that running ability to the extent that would put him at greater risk at this point. But in the NFL, you know, getting pressured by really big defensive linemen, you know, getting hit hard in the pocket, that could be an issue. So that's something that you got to look at. But at the same time, as well, the arm talent. I think CJ Stroud has better arm talent. I think his arm is a little more elastic. I think it's definitely stronger for sure. And I think by a considerable amount, like you said, I didn't quite grade Stroud with elite arm strength, but I gave him like an 8.5. So I think he's got great arm strength for sure. He can generate easy velocity. He can push it down the field a little bit. There's some times where they kind of sail on him a little bit, kind of, you know, he'll dip his shoulders. One thing that I really want him to improve, you know, he's got good mechanics, but some of the little details can be a little bit better at times. His weight transfers can be a little better. You know, the shoulders aren't always level. He'll dip the front shoulder sometimes, and that causes passes to go low, or he'll kind of tip it up when his back foot falls out from under him, and that can cause passes to sail and you detract velocity in that sense. But looking at what he does, you know, looking at what you need to be a successful quarterback. I mean, CJ Stroud he's got the size for sure. He's poised. He's very good at navigating the pocket. And that was something that really stood out, is that, you know, he's very instinctive when it comes to knowing when to step up, when to evade potentially. He's a good athlete too. He's not Bryce Young, but he is mobile. I think he has pretty good burst, honestly. I mean, there were times when he had someone pursuing him on the backside and he gears up pretty quickly and evades, you know. So for his size, I think he's a very good athlete, pretty underrated athlete. Not like a, you know, not like a bona fide rushing threat, but a guy who can create and extend plays in the pocket to a high level. And then I look at beside that as well. You know, he's got the accuracy for sure. Now, this is where charting is pretty important, because I think there's a difference between accuracy and precision. Accuracy to me is a catchable ball, you know, like it's in the vicinity of the wide receiver. It enables the wide receiver to make a play on it. But precision is different to me. Precision is getting it right where it needs to be to fulfill the desired outcome of the play. So, for instance, let's say there's a wide receiver on a drag route crossing the middle of the field, right? What do you want to do? You want to, ideally, because if he's on the drag route, he's looking for run after catch on the opposite side of the field. So what you want to do is you want to lead him. So you don't want him to slow down momentum, because he might have a DB right on his tail. So if you throw it a little bit behind him, you know, yeah, maybe he can catch it, but he's slowing down and then he's tackled and then it's a short gain. You're not getting the run after catch that you want from that. So, you know, an accurate but not precise pass would be one that maybe leads him a little bit too far back and the DB catches up to him. Accurate and precise is, yeah, it's catchable. And you also lead him upfield for that rack. And I think with CJ Stroud, one thing that I do want to see is he's very accurate. He's very accurate, consistently gives his receiver a chance to make a play on the ball. There are times when he can better place the ball for the intended purpose of the play, whether it's run out to catch, whether it's kind of leading the receiver away from defenders downfield. Now, he's shown that he can do it. He's got the arm talent where he can layer it into those tight spaces. There's one throw against Indiana that was particularly eye-popping for me, where the receiver was in the slot, had a seam route, did a little move to get behind the DB's blind spot. Stroud recognized it instantly. He's a very quick processor when it comes to leverage, fires it in there, high velocity throw, arcs right where it needs to go to put it between the corner and the safety and out of reach of both of them for the receiver into a tight window. So he's got that arm talent, that arm elasticity where he can do that. He can manipulate those angles and that trajectory. It's just a matter of doing it a little more consistently. And it, like when he needs to do it, it's very good. It's like when a receiver's open, sometimes it gets away from him a little bit, and that can stem from the slight mechanic inconsistencies. So I want him to improve that. But again, going back to, can he be that bona fide first round, that guy that this previous class lacked? And I think the answer is yes, because he's got the size, he's athletic, he's got a great arm for sure, but also a great processor, very good accuracy. He's got very good eye manipulation and processing. So I think he's a very well-rounded passer. Like the things that you that you, maybe you could knock him for. Not an elite creator. You know, I think he can use his mobility a little bit better. The mechanics can be a little inconsistent, and then, you know, the precision can be a little more precise. But overall, there's no red flag that's going to stop me from saying this guy can go number one overall. So I think CJ Stroud, the talent is all there. The intangibles are all there, and he's only trending up. So I'm very excited to see what he does, but I think I'm in agreement. He's my QB1 probably, and it might not be close.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think one of the great things about CJ Stroud, and you touched on that, I can remember vividly the play that you're talking about, is like a lot of people talk about when you sort of analyzing these and comparing these two quarterbacks, one of the big conversation points, or one of the big analysis points, if you like, with people is, oh well, CJ Stroud had got Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, two first round receivers, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's going to be, you know, probably another first round receiver. And then he's going to have another couple of guys coming through, and the likes of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Amika Obuoka. And people go, oh, well, it's, you know, it's easy to look. Some of the throws that CJ Stroud makes, I'm pretty confident that, like, you, me and you, like, we could get on the end of those throws because they are so good. And I think we need to move away from the whole thing of looking at quarterbacks as, oh, CJ Stroud was just surrounded by all the talent that he was. And you know, Bryce Young didn't have the same level of talent to throw to as CJ Stroud did in terms of, you know, the trio of wide receivers that Stroud had. But when you look at the tape, when you look at some of the throws that he makes, you talk about the precision element of it. I think it was a great way to break down the difference between accuracy and precision. You know, you look at a guy like, I think vividly about Desmond Ridder and some of the issues that I certainly had doing his scouting report with his game, where he would often just get the ball to his guy, but it would not be in a way that he could. The receiver or tight end, whoever it was, whether it be Alec Pierce, Josh Wiley, they wouldn't lead the receiver in a way where there could be any yard after the catch made. And I think, you know, that separates the good and the great quarterbacks. And I think we're going to see a great quarterback emerge in CJ Stroud throughout the course of this cycle. And like I say, I think you need to discount the fact that the trio of wide receivers that you were playing with, that's not a part of the evaluation of what CJ Stroud brings to the football field.
Yeah, and I think too, like Alabama, they had pretty good receivers too. I mean, Jameson Williams, pretty good guy, right? John Metchie, very good receiver. They had
pretty good,
I'd say. So yeah, it's one of those things. Whenever you're talking about a quarterback, I very rarely, like, I try to steer away from the context arguments unless they had absolutely nothing and they're still creating. Then it's something like, okay, well, this guy's legit, right? But, you know, even if they have talent, it's up to them to make the most of it, right? And you look down the stretch last year, CJ Stroud did that, right? And I think it bears reiterating, you know, like he can improve his situational precision at times, but he is definitely one of the more naturally accurate quarterbacks. And I shouldn't say naturally accurate, but you know, he is one of the more consistently accurate quarterbacks that I've watched. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, maybe he's not always perfectly fulfilling the purpose of the throw, but you're very rarely seeing him miss outright. I mean, he gets it, you know, I saw ESPN's Jordan Reed say, you know, he gets it in the strike zone very often. I think that's a perfect way of putting it. You know, where the receiver can make a play on it, he's very good at that. There's some instances where maybe you want to push it a little bit farther to get it out of the reach of the DB so the receiver can, you know, be a little more comfortable making the play. Maybe you can lead him a little bit more forward instead of making him have to slow down and you know, kind of minimizing the rack. But, you know, more often than not, he's accurate. He's pretty dang precise too for what he is right now. Again, with quarterback, especially a quarterback, really at every position, but especially a quarterback, there's things that you can be great at coming out of college, but you can still improve to be elite at, you know, like CJ Stroud, great at pocket management. I think he can still be a little bit more before he's elite, you know. Accuracy, very good, you know, mechanics, good, but there's always, there's so much ground to cover at the quarterback position. There's so many different categories that kind of contribute to success that there's always something you can get a little bit better at. And I think with CJ Stroud, he's already very good at a lot of things. And that kind of gives me confidence because he's a young quarterback. He's only a redshirt sophomore and he's already picking this stuff up. He's got the natural talent. So I'm very excited to see what he does in the future. And I think Bryce Young, you know, to a lesser degree, right? Like I don't want to knock on the guy this whole podcast because I do think he's talented. I do think he can be a first round pick. With Bryce Young, what you really have to ask is, you know, one, I don't think he's quite at the high level that Stroud is as a processor. Like you look at Stroud, the Ohio State offense is kind of notorious because with Justin Fields, right? I mean, you remember the wide receiver option stuff, you know, had people saying that Fields was a slow processor. When there's plays where he really can't pull the trigger until the wide receiver makes their decision, right? So you're kind of, you see that a lot with Stroud where he'd lock on to one side of the field, whether it's Wilson or Olave. And that's not because he's locking in naturally, habitually. That's just because it's a wide receiver option. So the play is designed for him to wait until that receiver makes his move and then he throws accordingly, right? But there's also instances where Stroud does go through his progressions, does go from high to low, you know, makes those plays, makes those decisions. With Bryce Young, it's more of that. Like he had a lot of hot reads, a lot of designed plays at Alabama, and he's very good at snapping into place with his mechanics, and he's got a quick twitch athleticism to his game. He's got a pretty crisp, compact release, so you'd like to see that. So in that offense, he works well. And then when things go awry too, like Bryce Young, I think he has the high level creation capacity to go off script, you know, off platform. He's a pretty natural thrower. I know sandlot throwers, and you know, that the common term, and I think that fits well, you know, like he's a little unorthodox sometimes, but he gets the job done. With him, it's just when you have more on your plate, can you do it? At this point, I've seen enough from Stroud to say he can do it. With Young, you know, it's still a bit of a question for me. And then on top of that, I don't think Young is quite as accurate as CJ Stroud. You see some uncharacteristic misses. And then the frame is definitely going to be a looming question for him. At 194 pounds, I can guarantee you that that's going to take him off some teams' boards if he's not up to 200 at least. And even then, at 200, that's still very small for an NFL quarterback. So you look at that, that's definitely going to be a big topic of discussion. You know, maybe he plays well enough to kind of supersede that. But right now, you're looking at CJ Stroud probably as QB1, and then it's everyone else. Who's there after him? We still have yet to find out. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks, and we were talking about this with Cam in our meeting just like an hour ago. There's a lot of quarterbacks where they have a lot going for them, but they also have one thing they need to improve. You know, like Will Levis, you know, just kind of consistency, right? But he's got all the tools that you want. He's a tough guy, fiery competitor. Hendon Hooker, the accuracy could improve, but he's got a rocket arm, very athletic. I mean, it really goes on and on. And so it's going to be interesting to see who files in behind CJ Stroud. But I think at this point, you know, you see Stroud and Young talked about as the two at the very top. But I think you and I are both in agreement that it's probably closer to Stroud on his own and then Bryce Young with the rest of them. You know, in my evaluation personally, that's how I feel. I think with Stroud, you know, he's just got a lot of what you're looking for in an NFL quarterback that Young, you know, maybe doesn't lack, but hasn't proven to have. And then the weight is just an added concern. Also the lesser arm talent. But we've talked about quarterbacks for a while. Ali, I know you want to talk about tight ends because we've got Michael Mayer. I think you did. You scouted him recently, and I'm very interested to see what you have to say because I remember we were talking about him and we were like, hey, is this guy going to the really good club? And like, yes, affirmative. He is going to the really good club, you know? So I think Michael Mayer, he's a guy who always flashed in Notre Dame, not really having an NFL quarterback throwing to him, right? And then he's still flashing, still making those plays. So Ali, we've got around 10 minutes. Talk to me about Michael Mayer. Is he tight end one? I know we haven't scouted a lot of guys, but what's the vibe on him so far?
That was a really nice way of saying Notre Dame have had a crappy quarterback situation for a long time, because they really, like, year in, year out, the Notre Dame quarterbacks are hideously.
Yeah, I tried to be polite, but yeah, it's not been a fruitful position for them, that's for sure.
No, it certainly has not. And the tight end position in the NFL draft hasn't been a fruitful position in many respects. We were talking about this late last week while I was scouting Michael Mayer. If you take Kyle Pitts out of the 2021 class, and you can take Kyle Pitts out of the 2021 class because he is a freak. Like he was a freak then, he's a freak now. That's not a normal quarterback tight end conversation we're having where Kyle Pitts is concerned. So take him away. You look at this year just gone, 2022 NFL draft. Trey McBride, first quarterback, first tight end. I need to stop saying quarterback, man. First tight end off the board, 55. Take Kyle Pitts out of the 21 class. First tight end off the board, 55. Pat Fryer moves to the Steelers. 2020, Cole Kmet, 43rd overall, second round to the Chicago Bears. There hasn't been, other than Kyle Pitts, a quarterback that makes you sit up and take notice as a first round prospect. Did I say quarterback again?
Quarterback.
Man, let's start this podcast again. start all the way over. So there hasn't been a tight end that set the draft class alight in the same way that TJ Hockenson did in the 2019. There just hasn't been that guy in these classes, apart from Kyle Pitts, who we will continue to reiterate was an absolute freak. I think Michael Mayer is a guy who is set for first round selection, and I think he may even be an early first round selection. And I know several mock drafts, I know our own Cam Mellor had Michael Mayer early in the first round, I think the top 10, and a lot of people went, oh, no, this dude's a tight end, you can't go in the top 10. Right, well, Michael Mayer, man, he is more than a tight end for me. Watching his tape, I went back and watched a significant amount of Michael Mayer from 2021, and this dude, like, he's lining up as an outside, as a wide receiver outside the numbers at 6'5", 251 pounds. He's listed out by Notre Dame. I saw somewhere where someone was saying Michael Mayer may even tip the scales upwards of nearly 260 pounds. He's lining up outside the numbers as a wide receiver and winning despite being this big old hulk at the tight end. And when you watch him, and I saw a lot of people say, oh, Michael Mayer hasn't got great straight line speed. Like, when you consider how big he is, the size he is, I think Michael Mayer is an exceptional athlete in terms of not just good to great straight line speed relative to his size. I think you look at some of his ability to change direction, his ability to shift that weight and change direction almost seamlessly. And he uses that to create separation almost instantaneously on release. He's able to be agile after the catch as well to make a man miss. He's a lot of impressive traits as a pass catcher in terms of that natural pass catching style. He plucks the ball out of the sky with ease, with great hands. Doesn't allow the ball to come into his frame. He goes up and plucks the ball out of the sky. The size obviously makes him a difficult proposition at the catch point. He can get above the rim. Some of the stuff that he does at the catch point, I know I posted two videos to social media while I was watching Michael Mayer. And I had to reiterate that this wasn't the same play because it was just mind-blowing that there was two plays where he lays out on the sideline with the toe drag swag, great contortionism of his body to snag the ball out of the sky. And just reiterating again, this kid is 250 plus pounds, 6'4.5", and he's laying out there and twisting and contorting and getting his toes in bound like you would expect from a much smaller wide receiver. So the pass catching ability, the receiving ability for Michael Mayer is for me off the charts. But then you look at what he can do as a blocker as well, dominant versus linebackers and defensive backs as a run blocker. He's got the ability to square up and absorb contact and anchor as a pass protector as well. Now, sometimes against bigger defensive ends, he does struggle. This work that he needs to do with the timing and placement of his hands. But as a guy who's just going into his junior season at the college football level, I think he's extremely impressive as a blocking tight end. And he's just, I think for me, he's just an incredible all-round tight end prospect, physical in multiple facets of the game, competitive, tough, high motor, off-field character reportedly very high as well, excellent pass catcher, great at blocking. I think you're looking at a kid who has been extremely productive as well, 450 receiving yards in his year, in his freshman season, 840 receiving yards as a sophomore, productive, exceptional performer. Everything ticks a lot of the boxes that you look at when you're assessing the tight end position. And I think he's only going to get better this season. And it really wouldn't be a surprise to see Michael Mayer taken off the board in the first half of the 2023 NFL draft. And he's going to kick off a tight end class that has got multiple exceptional playmakers, multiple guys with the talent that's it's there, just needs to be refined. Guys that have got, you know, we were talking about Arik Gilbert out of Georgia. Now, as it stands with Arik Gilbert, he's got a lot to prove. But there's no doubt that somewhere in Arik Gilbert is an exceptionally talented tight end prospect. I know Benjamin Urosek at Stanford is a guy you've had your eye on. Brant Keith is a guy for me who I absolutely love in terms of his receiving ability and his willingness and just how fun he is to go and watch trying to block. You know, a smaller guy, so he's not always the most powerful and strong guy as a blocker, but puts everything that he's got into every block that he attempts. There's a real great bunch of tight ends in this class, but yeah, they're going to be led off by Michael Mayer, who it would be no surprise at all to see in the first round.
Yeah, it's an exciting class, and I'm glad that we're getting back to having a guy who could potentially go round one, because I remember last year, you know, like Trey McBride, yeah, there were some guys that you like, but not a ton of players that you could love, you know, like Kyle Pitts was a freak, you know, to the point where even though he wasn't a great blocker, you know, he was such an incredible athlete and receiver that you knew he was going high. So if Mayer can be that guy, you know, that's an added element to this class. And I think both tight end and running back are two positions that are kind of ancillary positions, but you look at it, both of them could have high level talents that could command round one capital, maybe even mid round one capital. Guys like Bijan Robinson, Michael Mayer, you know, so that'll be an interesting storyline to watch. We're almost out of time. Real quick, Ali, I know we've been covering more positions as well. Who are some guys that have caught your eye in the past week that you want to kind of name drop here?
For me, LSU wide receiver Kayshon Boutte. It's not a name that no one knows. It's not a surprise in terms of his standing in this class. But I was just I was blown away with the explosiveness, the athleticism, the ability to create after the catch with Kayshon Boutte. Not always the best catcher at the in contested catch situations. There's some focus drops in there as well. But in terms of what Kayshon Boutte adds after the catch, there's an extremely exceptional, exciting talent at the top of this 2023 wide receiver class. I think the early buzz about him being the wide receiver one of the class is very much warranted.
Yeah, I scouted him a little bit. And I think, yeah, like you said, got to improve at the catch point. Would like his route running to be a little more efficient. But in terms of upside, I mean, you're working with a ton. I mean, explosive, twitchy. You know, he's got a great physical profile. So very excited to see what he does. I'll throw in Jalen Carter. I just watched him. I finished him this morning, actually. And I've had, I think, probably six players now between this class and last year's score over 8.5 on my grading scale. Last year was like Jermaine Johnson, Evan Neal, Lewis Seen, and I think Andrew Booth was up there as well. This year, it has been Will Anderson, Bijan Robinson, and Jalen Carter. So that's it. Jalen Carter, blue chip prospect to me. I know it was kind of the flashy thing to say, like, yeah, all these Georgia defensive linemen are great, and Jalen Carter's the best of the bunch, right? You want to do your due diligence before you kind of run with that. But I can attest now, it's true. Like he was the best of the bunch, and he wasn't even draft eligible last year. He is now. He's a fantastic player, explosive, got great elite lateral agility, and he's more powerful. He's a little bit longer than Devontae Wyatt, and that shows up. Great upper body torque. The pre-snap recognition is also a fun element of his game. So I love what he has to offer. I think he can be that devastating three tech for you at the next level. Very excited to see what he does, but for now, I think we've run out of time. So we'll hit you back with more 2023 NFL draft analysis next week. I think we're going to be transitioning to, we got one more podcast this week, and then we're going to be transitioning to one episode a week until around August when things start to ramp up college football season again. Then we will be back with more in-depth real-time analysis on the 2023 NFL draft class, because as you know, it's a long process. We are only at the very start of it. So still a lot of ground to cover, a lot of things to look at, and we're going to have fun doing it. So Ali, thanks for joining me again. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, peace out. Have a good one.